reading is from Mark's Gospel, from chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. That's on page 1049, if you'd like to follow along. We find Jesus with his disciples in a boat. That day, when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was, in the boat. There were also other boats with him. And a furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up. He rebuked the wind and then said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And they were terrified. And they asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." This is the word of the Lord. When I was really young, maybe 6 or 7 years old, my family went on a camping trip. And if I recall, it wasn't just my immediate family, but it was families from Christian Reformed churches all over the region. It was back in the days when the Institute for Christian Studies used to hold a conference somewhere in the Niagara region. And people gathered from all over the place for a mix of bonfires and philosophy. It's pretty much the best. I don't remember much about the conference, and I was too young to understand the speakers, but I do remember the ride to the campground. On the way out, the sky looked really rough, and it was packed with thick gray clouds that looked like dirty, wet, crumpled up paper towels, and the rain was slashing down on us, and traffic had slowed to a crawl. And from the back seat, I remember looking out the window and seeing that part of the sky was reaching towards the earth in this gray funnel, spinning ominously with this kind of slow motion menace. My dad pulled the car over into the ditch, looking for low ground for cover in case the funnel cloud touched down. And as I said, my memory of the event is a bit foggy, but I'm here today, so made it out. One of the things I do remember, though, is that I wasn't deathly afraid. I'm sure I was a bit rattled, a bit jarred, but probably not afraid to the extent you would expect by having a funnel cloud outside the backseat window. And that was probably because I was in the car with my parents, who, like all grown-ups, had everything under control. At least it's how things are in the world, according to seven-year-olds. But sometime in late childhood or early adolescence, there's this switch that gets flipped. And we realize that grown-ups aren't immortal tornado slayers. There's this awareness of mortality that creeps in. And with that comes a lot of fear and panic and anxiety. Not the sort of fear that comes from thinking there's monsters in the closet anymore, but the kind of fear that comes from realizing that we clutch at life with such insignificant strength. The kind of fear that comes from knowing that you can be tossed by a storm, like some small boat at the mercy of the briny deep. And I don't think anyone's immune to that. That fear and that panic and that anxiety. That comes into the life of people who are accustomed to storms. like the disciples, on the boat with Jesus in today's reading. This is a serious situation that they're in, right? But it's hard not to see a little bit of humor or a little bit of irony in the story, because these disciples are some salty sailors. They plied their trade on the sea. They'd spent their lives on the sea, and no doubt they had experienced pretty much everything that the sea had to offer. But then the storm comes, and they're the ones who panic. And Jesus, the landlubber, the carpenter from Nazareth, he's the one who is completely undisturbed. The disciples are freaking out on the deck, and Jesus is on a cushion in the stern, snoozing like some house cat, right in the middle of this moment of terror. And the disciples are annoyed by this. And maybe rightly so, because they've seen this carpenter do a few miraculous things already. And since they're out of ideas for how they're going to survive this storm, maybe it's worth a shot with this miracle worker who is conveniently sleeping through this moment of terror. So they go to Jesus. But they don't go with a, hey, can you lend us a hand here, kind of request. Instead, they come with an accusation. Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Somehow this is Jesus' fault, as if he doesn't care, as if he's not on the boat with them and would go down with it if it were to capsize. So the boat is under siege from wind and waves and whipping rain. But the disciples, they find the problem with Jesus, who apparently doesn't care. It's not hard to see that there's actually two storms in this story. One is this sudden squall that's ambushed the disciples and Jesus halfway across the sea. But the other is the storm in their own hearts. They're wound up, rocked by the waves, but fear and anxiety, that might sink the ship too. St. Augustine points out how the stormy scene in this story so precisely describes our own internal weather patterns. The ways we allow our quarreling and our anger and our frustration and our fear and our anxiety to just sweep over us, to wash over us, to wash us away. And I shudder to think that he's right. I shudder to think about how many times I've hung on to an argument like a dog on a chew toy, just dangling there. Or how many times I've been convinced that I'm right, usually about something completely inconsequential, only to find that my friends have been swept away in a torrent of my own self-righteousness. Or think about the way that anger can sweep over you. Think how it spills out over the sides and drenches your neighbors and drenches your friends and your brothers and sisters. Or think about keeping yourself awake with worry. That thick fog of anxiety and nervousness that sweeps in and blinds you to the world of grace and beauty and opportunity that's right in front of you. It's breathtaking how quickly these storms can sweep in. 1 minute the sea is smooth and glassy, and the next thing, it's roiling and foamy and frightening. And I don't think it's just an individual thing either. I think you pick any boat, Bethel Christian Reformed boat, any church, and you're going to find creaking and groaning under stormy dispositions, squabbles, factions, and cliques. It happens to us as a community. It happens to us as individuals. And maybe the saddest part about that is that we seem to use those stormy situations as a great opportunity to stash Jesus below the deck. Somewhere down in the stern, or even deeper, somewhere in steerage. As if we don't need him. As if our quarreling, our arguments, our anger, our frustration, as if those are the real solution to the problem at hand. And maybe we do that because deep down, we have a hunch that Jesus might not see things the way we do. That he might not take our side in the squabble. That he might not back us up in the argument. In fact, if this reading from Mark is any indication, when Jesus is awakened to face a stormy situation, his words are blunt and to the point. Peace. Be still. Peace. Be still. The kind of words that Jesus uses to quiet storms, the kind of words he uses to quiet demons. I can't help but think that when Jesus faced the storm and said, "Peace, be still," that he wasn't casting a sidelong glance at the disciples as well. So no wonder they're terrified. Do you notice that Mark describes the disciples as being terrified even after the storm is calmed? Things are pretty much back to normal in terms of the weather pattern. But the disciples' fear level seems to have been ratcheted up a few notches. Maybe they didn't get what they expected when they awakened this miracle worker. It's really easy to treat God as our own private miracle worker, right? The God who does impressive things on our behalf, the God who's always on our side, pulling for us in the most insignificant situations. The kind of God to whom we pray, "Thank you, God, for getting me this sweet parking spot." And I don't think that's completely without merit. I think God works in the small details. But the Jesus that we see today in Mark's reading, in Mark's gospel, is something else entirely. This is the Jesus who stares chaos in the face. This is the Jesus who commands chaos to stop. This is the Jesus who shows he is Lord with three words: peace, be still. It was probably at that moment the disciples realized that they weren't on the boat with just some conjurer of cool tricks, some miraculous healer. And maybe they started to wonder, this guy can do that. What else can he do? Maybe he can see our hearts. Maybe he can see those storms of fear, of anxiety and anger. Maybe our heart is not a safe harbor to stash those things. And they ask, who is this guy? St. Augustine says that when we are swept into the currents of life's storms, we should awaken the sleeping Christ, who will come to our aid. And we learn from today's story that that is a profoundly humbling experience. The preacher Fred Craddock says it really well. The presence of God is what everybody wants and what nobody wants. Peace. Be still. We don't practice stillness very well, do we? I know when I'm in a tricky situation, my immediate impulse is to sort of plow on through. And if I have to harness a few thunderheads or some stormy clouds, then so be it. Gets the job done, right? But what if we cultivated the art of stillness? What if we kept a steady hand on deck and slowed our reactions down? What if we took stock of the situation a bit before we acted? Would we recognize that it's not as desperate as it seems? Or even if it was that desperate, wouldn't it be handled better with a steady, calm response? Peaceful stillness is a virtue, a theologically profound one. And it's what makes me think that this story isn't so much about Jesus calming the storm as it is about Jesus sleeping on the cushion
below deck. Don't get me wrong. The scene of Jesus calming the storm is incredible. I am impressed. But what grips me most about Mark's story is picturing this boat tossed from bow to stern, and Jesus slumbering through it all. I don't think any of us would have too much trouble coming up with times in our lives where Jesus or where God seemed to be sleeping, where God seemed to be away on business or absent without leave. And I think that would be a fruitful theme to explore with today's reading. But I'd wager that Mark is trying to tell us something else. So 7 years ago, when my wife and I were married, a friend of ours gave us these Orthodox Christian icons for a wedding present. I don't think they were from Bed Bath & Beyond. Not the typical thing you find in a wedding registry, but we're both ministers, so I guess it was suitable. Icons are these theologically rich portraits of saints and scenes from the Bible, and it was a fitting gift. One of the icons depicted this scene from Mark. And I remember being moved by the look of complete serenity on Jesus' face. The painter had painted these incredible, tumultuous waves, and the disciples had this look of shock and terror. But Jesus' face was serene, peaceful, even though the world raged outside. And that look on his face was a big help over the next few months after we were married. Because we were married, and then we moved from Michigan to Kitchener, and I started a new job, and Amanda started a new school, and all of those were really good things. But all of those at the same time were incredibly stressful. But there in the middle of it all was Jesus' face, calm and serene, in perfect repose. And I remember even developing a kind of a mantra, Jesus in the boat, Jesus in the boat. When life was overwhelming, when life was frightening, and there were so many unknowns, Jesus in the boat, Jesus in the boat, Jesus in the boat. It wouldn't be fair to say that this passage teaches us that Jesus will always spring into action and calm each and every storm that comes into our lives. That's obvious. Each one of us could point to storms that have raged in our lives for years. In fact, most of us could probably come up with examples of storms that seem to have won the day. Storms that have just blown us over. Storms that have broken the main sail and cracked the hull of our ship and left us to ruin in the middle of the sea. Those stories aren't hard to find. Those illnesses, those addictions, those broken relationships, those communities in turmoil, those stories of abuse, of unfaithfulness, of enmity and division and discord. We have no guarantee that those storms are going to stop anytime soon. In fact, it seems to me that if you get on the boat with Jesus, then you'd better watch the horizon. And that might sound frightening, but it's good news, actually. It's gospel, because Jesus is on that boat. He's the peaceful and still center of it all. And he's not going anywhere. Because there is nowhere to go when you're on the boat. And that means if there are storm clouds on the horizon, all angry and green and rolling, then we sail into them. And we pray that we sail through. And if the boat capsizes, if it pitches back and goes down into the deep, then Jesus goes with us. All the way down. And that's okay, because nothing goes deeper than God's reach. Christians know this. Christians know that there is space for hope even way down in the deep. Because we know that if you go under the waves with Jesus, then you are promised to be raised with him too. Remember your baptism. Maybe that's the faith that the disciples lacked. Maybe that's why Jesus says, "Do you still not have any faith?" They didn't lack the faith that said that Jesus could do something about the storm. That's why they seek him out in the first place. But the faith that Jesus wanted them to have was not that he was some miracle worker who can calm every storm that comes along. The faith he commended to them was this: that he was Emmanuel, God with them, right in the middle of the storm. And that's the faith that he commends to us today, too. To those of us who are sailing on this Bethel Christian Reformed boat. The faith that lets Jesus sleep must be really profoundly, deeply hopeful. It's not a faith that's confined to shallow waters and a quiet breeze, but it's one that extends through every storm. It's one that extends to every boat that has ever capsized, to every sailor who has ever sunk to the bottom of the sea. May God grant us the grace to calm the storms that we create. May God give us the faith to persevere through the ones that sweep in from beyond the blue. May we learn peace and stillness from Jesus Christ our Lord, who is Emmanuel, God with us, right in the boat. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.